As you're standing, we'd ask you to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John this morning. And we have been going through a series, taking the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we put them together in chronological order and have been going through. And so where we find ourselves now in John's Gospel, it's a very intimate time. Jesus is with his disciples. It's called the Upper Room Discourse. It's just a day away from his crucifixion on the cross. What timing, huh? We have Holy Week coming up here with us. We have a wonderful time of prayer Monday night here. Wednesday night at Passover. We'll talk about that later. Friday, a Good Friday service at noon. Sunday morning next week, we're going to be on the dock on Bellingham Bay. It'd be about our 12th year straight. And it's right below the Chrysalis Hotel at 7 a.m. for a sunrise service. And then back here at 10 a.m. And the children will also be bringing a couple of songs with for us next Sunday here at 10 a.m. Amen. So let's look at the Bible this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 14. And in verse 25, Jesus is speaking and he says, "These things I have spoken to you while present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you that I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." So, Father, we are so blessed. Thank you, God, this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. Thank you for the time of prayer earlier this morning. Thank you for our children's ministry, just bringing Jesus to them today, teaching them about how you were the and are the great I am. We thank you for that. Thank you for all those that have served this morning, whether it's the kitchen or coffee, worship, sound, ushering, and in so many other ways. Thank you so much for our fellowship. And God, thank you for your church. We're thankful that we're just one of thousands and thousands of churches getting together in your name throughout the world. Bless those, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, as we're looking at this text, and a title would be "A Leader Worth Following," and I want to say with complete confidence that Jesus Christ is the leader that we want to follow in this life. We want to follow Jesus, and he gives us some great reasons why we want to follow him. We want to love him, serve him. We want to follow him. We want to hear what he has to say to us. So in our text this morning, in verse 25, he says, "These things I've spoken to you while you're present with me." So Jesus is with his disciples. Again, these are his close disciples. Judas has already left the room. He's headed to the cross. He's going to be dying on the cross the next day. And what he has to say to his disciples is what he wants to say to us as well. And so as I've been going through this continually and just pondering it, I believe that the word that he tells us here in the scriptures in verse 27 of John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." I believe that that is the essential hallmark statement that Jesus is saying. Now, let's remember real quickly right now, these disciples at this point, they're yet to see some important things. They've yet to see Jesus be taken away. They've yet to see him be tried before the courts. They've yet to see him crucified and on a cross. They've yet to know that he's buried and in a tomb. They've yet to know that he's risen from the dead and he's alive and he's conquered death. They've yet to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Those are great events happening over the next 40 and 50 days. All that's going to take place. All they're looking for right now is Jesus, lead us. You're our King. You're our Lord. You're our Messiah. Lead us. And even though he's communicated everything, everything about the cross, everything about his reason for coming, still in their mind, they haven't grasped what you and I know about Jesus. They're hoping that he literally would just set up a kingdom right then, right there, and overthrow Rome, and Christ would be there and establish that. We hear a lot today about social justice and how that all works out. It's a pretty charged statement in words. Let me tell you, when Jesus Christ returns from heaven to establish his kingdom on earth, all of that will be taken care of immediately. He will be in control. He said he is the Prince of Peace and that he is going to come to reign and rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Looking forward to that. He's with his disciples. All of this is ahead of them. They're not aware of this at all. We are as we reflect on it. But I believe, friends, right now, I believe here's what we need to hear right now from the Spirit of God. We need to experience the peace of God in our lives in ways that we haven't. The peace of God in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our world, in a way. I'm saying definitely this is a peace from God. I'm not saying a peace from a government, from a march, or for anything else. We need the peace that Christ wants to provide for us. We need this peace. And so there's two things. There's having a relationship where you have peace with God, and then as you have that relationship and you have peace with God, you and I, on an ongoing basis, will experience the peace of God. Two separate things. I would say that most people in this room, I would think, have come to a place where you have experienced peace with God. You've asked Christ for forgiveness of your sins. You've received him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So every believer has peace with God. But I would have to say that probably, and I'll put myself in the number, but experiencing the peace of God. So we have peace with God through salvation, but the peace of God, that number is a lot smaller. We need to talk about this. Because, see, Jesus is talking about this. Last words are lasting words. What do you have to say? And he's talking about the peace that they are going to need and the peace that we're going to need to be able to live in this world. In this world, you'll have good, in this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, when we go back to this, and it says in verse 25 of John 14, these things I've spoken to you while being present. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. And I'm thinking about this. And stay with me right now. I'm thinking about this experience that they've had with Jesus for the last 3 years, 3.5 years, whatever it is. And how did it begin? My friends, it began on the water, in the water. What do you mean? I mean that the Bible tells us that Jesus came around the Jordan. And around the Jordan, John was baptizing people. And he was saying, prepare and make right and make straight the way of the Lord. Christ is coming. And there was a day marked out when Christ Jesus came to the Jordan River. And John the Baptist, he was looking at all the people there. There were people, it says, everybody from the region came out. Not just this one day, all the time. God was speaking. There was a prophet, John the Baptist. There hadn't been a voice from God in a human form, a prophet on earth for 300-400 years. God's speaking. Prepare the way of the Lord. And then Jesus came to John the Baptist. And the heavens opened, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, the Son of God. There we have it, the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one. And John baptized him. And he came out of the water, and he went into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness being tempted for 40 days. And afterwards, his ministry breaks forth. How does it break forth? It breaks forth back on the water. What do you mean? He is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and there's fishermen. There's Peter and Andrew, James and John. They have their own fishing industry going on. They're on the shore. One of them group is cleaning their nets. Others mending their nets. And Jesus says these words to them, and it comes out of Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. But they're casting their nets, they're mending their nets, and he says to them, "Follow me." Jesus just said, "Follow me, follow me." And when Jesus said, "Follow me," it gripped their heart. It said they dropped their nets, and they walked away from their father and in the industry and everything, and they followed Jesus. Because he's a leader worth following. Follow me. And I think many of you have heard those words. I've heard those words. Follow me. I heard those words that made a dramatic difference in my life. But I need to hear those words every day. Because every day I need to have the peace of God. Every day I need to have the peace of God. Every day this world wants to steal the peace of God away from me, whether it's the world, the devil, or just my own rotten attitude. I need the peace of God every day. And Jesus knows this. Follow me with what I'm saying. So he begins to gather these disciples up shortly after in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus again sees Peter on the shore, but Jesus is giving a message, and the crowds are pressing in upon him in Luke 5. And as they're pressing in, he sees Peter, and he says, "How about that boat?" Those are my words. But he has Peter bring his boat around. Jesus gets into the boat in a really practical way, because you have the dynamics of the water being used to amplify the voice. But my friends, Jesus is not only concerned about the crowd, he's concerned about every individual in the crowd. You are not just a number to Jesus. You are uniquely made. You've been designed in the image of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has allowed, in this time that we live in, when I was growing up, fingerprints were a big thing. You had a uniqueness in your fingerprint. My dad worked for the Los Angeles Police Department, and I got to go down and visit him. And he says, "Son, I'll take you to where they do the fingerprinting, but promise me you won't have to go in here when I'm not around. But I'll show you how they do this." And it's just like, and he says, that's your fingerprint. And it's unique to who you are. And through these years, God has allowed us to understand what DNA is. He's allowed us to understand just how marvelous that we are made and the uniqueness of each individual. And he's allowing this in these days for us to glorify him, to say we have no excuse. You are uniquely made. You are uniquely known by God. And he uniquely died for every one of us. And until you and I realize he died for me. Yes, he died for the world, but you're a part of the world. And until you break in your heart and you realize you died for me. We just saw something heroic happen over in France where an officer went in and they released the hostage, and he took the place, and he died on site. You're aware of any of that? No? No? Okay. Every Sunday come, and I'll keep you updated, okay? Anyways, he just literally gave his life to release that woman hostage that was there. And he died. Jesus Christ came to earth and we were all held hostage by sin, by Satan. We were held hostage. And Jesus says, I'm going to die for you. So just like the one individual went in and released one hostage, Christ came from heaven to release everyone individually. It wasn't a group release, although the atonement is for those who want it, but you receive it individually. It's an individual work of God. So he had Peter in the boat back at Luke 5. Come back with me. We're talking about water. We're talking about just what he's looking at. So Peter goes out. Jesus gives a message, and he says to Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter says, Jesus, we fished all night, and we caught nothing. It is not good to talk back to the Lord. Okay, when the Lord is telling us things, like right here, we're seeing that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God's going to teach us. The Spirit of God's going to bring to remembrance. He does that so that we respond in obedience, not in protest. Listen, I teach out of a Bible. The version is the New King James Version. There's various versions, but in the New King James Version, it's very interesting because Jesus says, let down the nets. It's plural. After N-E-T, there's a letter S. Peter responds, okay, nevertheless, at your will, I will let down the net. It's singular. It's very interesting. How many times is our obedience partial obedience? Grumpy obedience. And God's gracious in the midst of all this. Peter lets down, and all of a sudden, there is an unbelievable catch of fish, so much so that they're going to capsize. They're sinking. You can't believe this. Peter's thinking, and again, remember, he already said, follow me, and they're following him, and they left their business, and they left their father. But my friends, it is a work within all of our lives. It is a work all the time. There's that initial breakaway, I am saved, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower, I've been renewed, I'm just going to stay with the Lord. But we're challenged all the time. We're always challenged. And so, all of a sudden, Peter got everything he wanted. This is major capital gains. I wasn't with Peter in the boat, but he's thinking, as any entrepreneur will be thinking, I'm expanding the fleet. We're getting more boats. This is what we've been waiting for. Finally, we can pay our bills. And everything he would have wanted, he had. And when he had it, he was sinking. He was going under. Help. And they brought some other boats around to help alleviate and to share the catch. And Peter said to Jesus, I'm unclean. And he talks to Jesus about forsaking all and following him. You and I, we do not want to have what God does not provide. You do not want to have what God has not provided. We see shortly thereafter back out. And this was after they fed the thousands of people, 5,000 plus men and women and children. And Jesus went up to pray, and he sent his disciples across the sea. Go across. That's what he asked them to do. And they're halfway across, and there is an incredible storm that comes up on the sea. It is overtaking them. And Jesus sees it from his position. He's praying for them. He asked them to go across. When you're halfway, when you're right in the middle, I mean, if they just were out 100 yards, it's easy. Just come back. But friends, when you're halfway into something, there's no turning back. You've got to keep going forward. When you're into it, stay in your marriage. Well, how do you keep your marriage going? You just don't quit. You stay with it. He's going to see you through. He's praying for you. You're right in the midst of some things right now. You don't experience that peace of God. Remember, my emphasis here this morning is about the peace I want to leave with you and my peace I want to give to you. I want you to have peace with God. I want you to have the peace of God. He's allowing scenarios and situations to happen in their life so he can demonstrate that he is the Prince of Peace. And he walks out on that water. And when he's walking out on the water, they think it's a ghost. And I'm sure we probably think the same thing. And Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, bid me to come out to you." So Peter gets out of the boat and is walking to Jesus on the storm. Can you imagine that? All this comes out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And as he's walking on the storm, his eyes are on Jesus, but his eyes go to the huge waves and the water and the great tempest that's happening. And when he looks away, he's drowning. And he has like the shortest, sweetest prayer ever prayed. "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." You ever pray that prayer? I pray that not for my salvation now, just God, bail me out. help me. I need your help. Deliver me. Lord, save me. And the Lord picks him up. Jesus is in the boat. Immediately there's a calm. I'm wondering, is Jesus in your boat today? Is a lack of peace a result of Christ really not being there with you in the boat today? Could it possibly be that? I'm not saying that you're not a believer, but are you experiencing the presence of God and the love of God, the faithfulness of God? Are you experiencing his kindness towards you? Or is the Holy Spirit teaching you something? Is the Holy Spirit revealing something that you're doing? And it's not pleasing to God, and you're buying time. "I heard you before, Lord. I'm not ready yet." It's good to be ready. It's good to respond to the Lord. Because when he's in the boat, there is that peace. They went over to the other side. And you would think, my friends, you would think that these guys have got it. I'm just highlighting a few things. I'm saying in verse 25, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you." In other words, he's been with them in every one of these situations. He's been there. He's telling them that he's leaving, and they're devastated because he's helped them all along. He's going to help us understand it's a good thing that he leaves. But listen, after his death, burial, and resurrection, Peter and the boys, and God had appointed Peter to be a leader. God's call was for Peter to lead. And Peter is going to lead this way. Death, burial, and resurrection, we've seen Christ. They gather together, and Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And they all followed. "I'm going back to what we did." And you think, what is going on? But friends, let's not be so hard on Peter and the boys. How many of us have gone back in to the old ways, to the old things, gone back? And after he graciously helped, after you said, "Lord, save me," after there were situations and you just inside for weeks and for months, you just would go to sleep and, oh, you wake up, oh. And finally, there's the peace of God. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that again. And there's a piece, but you're doing it. What happened? So these guys, there's death, burial, and resurrection. Let's go fishing. They're out fishing. They caught nothing. It's in John 21. And Jesus is on the shore. He doesn't reveal himself. He's not glowing with a big thing over his head or anything like that. He's not carrying a sign, "I'm Jesus, turn or burn," or anything like that. He's just right there. And actually, he's got a little fire going. And he says, and this is in 21 of John. I love it so much. Because these guys have been with him. And he has a heart for them. He loves them. They're going to be the founders of this church. And you would think 3 years with Jesus, day and night, the level of spiritual maturity. He calls out to them, "Children, have you caught anything? He addresses them as children. Slam dunk. I mean, Lord, listen, he loves them. But when we turn back to our old ways, we're acting like children. Children of the world, not children of God. And John the Apostle, he recognized, oh, we've been here before. He tells Peter, it's the Lord. Peter jumps in and heads towards shore. He actually even says that he brings in by himself large fish, like 153, some large amount by himself. I don't know why that's in the scripture. John wrote it. Maybe he's trying to make Peter look boastful. I don't know. But Peter brings it in. And Jesus says to Peter, I don't need your catch. I've already got the food. I've got breakfast for you. And he feeds them. And then he asked, will you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me? And Peter said that he was ready to forsake it all and follow Jesus. But he asked Jesus, what about John? And Jesus says to Peter, what's it to you about John? You follow me. You see, it all began on that shore. It all began on the beach. It all began by the water. And the very first, 3.5 years ago, follow me, follow me, follow me. We're 3.5 years later or so, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he's saying, follow me. You follow me. You follow me. You follow me. Let's not worry about everybody else. Let's just be concerned about our relationship with God. You don't want somebody else's peace. You want the Lord's peace. You want the peace of God. And so do I. We need to follow him on that. Oh, my friends, it doesn't stop there, my friends. You see, Peter was right there. Peter, in the book of Acts is 28 chapters, but around the first 12 are dedicated to what happened in the church. And it's a commentary on the life and ministry of the church and Peter as a leader. And then from about 12 or 13 till the end, it's about Paul and his ministry. Both these men would die a martyr's death under the hand, the heavy hand of Nero. Both would give their life for Christ. Both had been changed radically. Both were followers of Christ. But Paul and Peter, they talk together. Peter refers to Paul in 2 Peter. He talks about Paul's writing. They were friends. They co-labored together in various ways. Certainly, Peter to the Jewish nation and Paul to the Gentiles, but to the world. Amen? They loved each other. And Paul was out at sea. And he had several missionary journeys, three. And then another one to go to Rome. And he was supposed to go to Rome. And he wanted to go before Nero. And on the way there, it seems like it was sure death. And the ship with 200 and some people on board, it's just going to go under. But God visited the Lord. An angel, God came to Paul and said, there's going to be peace here. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to see you through. And Paul said to the captain and the soldiers on board, because the ship was going down, he says, don't kill anybody. God visited me. There's the peace of God that we have. I know the peace of God. I fought against God. I fought against the people of God, but the presence of God came upon me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul would say, I'm saved. I know the peace with God. I know the peace of God. And in this situation, towards the end of his life, staying strong for over 30 years, walking with God, finishing the work, the boat capsized. The soldiers are going to kill the prisoners. He says, don't. Everyone will arrive safe. And they all got to the shore safely in the book of Acts. And what you read in the book of Acts, think of how cold, how dark. And this has been days and nights, complete darkness. finally getting to the shore. Figure out how cold you would be, how freezing. Paul's the one that led this. Paul's the one that had a relation with God. He had peace with God. He had the peace of God. Because of that, God used him, and God will use you. Allow that peace of God to come back into your heart. Allow God's peace. Just like we had to get right to have peace with God, we need to be right to experience the peace of God. There's too much compromise going on. Unpleasant to the Lord. And that's why there's not the peace. And that's why there's not the power. And that's why there's not the joy. And that's why there's not the hope. And that's why there's the absence of love. It's because it's not peace. Paul, soaking wet, freezing cold, on the beach, over 200 and a whole bunch of people on the shore, and Paul is picking up firewood to start a fire. Paul is serving. When you have peace with God and the peace of God, you don't look at yourself. In that situation, everything he just did, it would seem he'd have every right to just say, okay, guys, you're all alive. You're all saved. You're going to be killed. But he's serving. Listen to this. As he's serving, as he's picking up wood to create a fire, to get warm, practically speaking, he picks up some wood and there's a viper in the mix. It's in Acts 27. There's a viper. And a viper gets a hold of Paul. And these people in Malta, when this happens, you think, God, how could you possibly allow that to happen? I'm not going to believe in you. If that's the kind of God you are. Let's not have designer gods. Let's just have the God of the Bible. Let's have who he is. Paul still had peace with God and the peace of God. When this viper bit Paul, the people said, ha, he's a murderer. Let's kill him. And he shook the viper off, and he didn't drop instantly. And they said, oh, he must be a god. It reminds me of people's opinions today. You can be a devil one moment and an angel the next. Be careful about your perspective, okay? Your perspective's not truth. God's is. And God used him to heal. And God used him to bring the gospel to Rome. He's a leader worth following, Jesus is, because of his words, because of his works, because of his Holy Spirit, and because of the peace that he brings to us. And Jesus is going to depart, and they're all worried about it. And he says to them, don't worry about it. Are you worried right now? Do you wish that Jesus was right here with you? He is. Jesus is right here with us right now. He's right here with you. He just said amen. No, I'm just kidding. He's right. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. And the Holy Spirit dwells in every person here. He's with us. And Jesus said that it's good that I go to heaven. They don't understand it, but we should. It's good that I go to heaven. Because if I go to heaven, I'm going to be there praying for you every day. The Bible says he lives to make intercession. So he's in heaven. Where's Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of God in heaven. That's where he's at. I saw him yesterday in my pizza. That was not Jesus. He is in heaven. He is in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. And he's praying for you right now. It says he ever lives to pray. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't say, well, you know, I'll get you next year when I make the rounds back through Washington on my prayer. He's God. He's praying for you right now, every day. He captures every tear that drops from your eyes. The Bible says he captures that because he cares about you. It's good that he left because he's praying for us every day. It's good that he left because he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. The evidence that we're saved. It's good that he left because he sent his word to us. So we have the word of God, the certainty of who he is, who we are, and what he has for us. It's good that he left because now he's going to return. and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. It's good that you're here, because by being here, you get to know this morning that he loves you. And he wants you to have his peace. And he wants you to walk in the peace that he's provided. And he wants to make right any wrongs through his forgiveness. And he wants to help strengthen your walk with him by you saying, God, I've received your peace for salvation. I've been justified through faith in Christ. But I need your peace today over my storms, over the vipers that have bitten me, over the things that I have accumulated thinking it's going to bring great satisfaction, and I'm sinking. He's here, and he wants his peace for us. Amen.